Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome to Clicking Balls. This is our GWS season primer for 2019. So first thing we'll do is go through quickly their 2018 and then have a look at what's changed for them and what's in store for them coming up this season. So straight off, 13.5 wins is good enough to finish seventh for the Giants. And I think this is 3 years in a row they played finals. So it's a win in that respect, but 13.5 wins and a win in finals, yeah, they've got to be all right with that.
It is a win. One thing I found interesting which came out... Well, I read about it this week. I don't know when they actually released the results, but they made a significant loss this season again. Yeah. And this is against...
financial loss, you mean?
Yeah, financial loss. Yep. Gold Coast had a pretty healthy profit. So I just don't understand how that works with the... Obviously, they get paid, or get allowances...
from
well,
the AFL.
I think Gold Coast had a lot of one-off. Things like the Commonwealth Games is up there as well. Right. So the Comm Games is renting Gold Coast's ground. Right.
And they got paid to go to China as well, right?
Yeah, yeah. So they had a lot of one-off big income payments that won't happen again. GWS, however, didn't really have those.
No, but they did have success, which is, I thought, that should be rewarded financially as well. So if you're winning, I mean, obviously I know fuck all about the administration side of things, but if you're winning, you would assume that it's mismanagement that leads to a financial loss.
Well, I've gone a little bit 180 on this, as I used to think, because the only reason that Gold Coast had a profit was because the AFL gives them about $25 million more than they give most other clubs.
Right, yeah.
And GWS is about the same. They give them more money than they give the financially viable clubs. But if the AFL's got that money, the AFL's only got that money because of the competition and the other teams.
Yep.
So it should be divvied up to the clubs. Like, it just says that... What it really means is the other clubs aren't getting enough, the split isn't there. So even though on their own they're not financially viable, there's only about six or seven teams that are, to varying degrees. So I sort of look at, well, as a part of the whole, they're still it's worth it if the AFL is giving them $50 million a year. I
mean, the argument though is that the only reason some of the other teams are financially viable is because you can sign a multi-billion-dollar TV rights
thing.
Yeah. And having 18 teams is what contributes to that.
Exactly.
So if you have...
As part of the whole, they contribute to it.
If you have 16 teams, then you're not paying $5 billion over 6 years or whatever it was, like because there's less games to play, less advertising to sell. So, look, it'd be an interesting study that I'm not going to do on how much value they bring to that deal and how much they take out of it. But they're definitely... contributing to the growth of AFL, so run with that.
Well, I think the only solution is that the AFL CEOs need to unionise, form a AFL CEO association where they can try and gank more money from the AFL, in which turn the AFL Players Association tries to gank more money from them.
That's one thing that always amazes me about the AFL. Like, every once in a while they advertise jobs, and it's for, whatever, your marketing, PR, social media, whatever. It's always massive unders. And I'm like, Jesus, but you'd have to be passionate to work there, I guess.
Exactly.
Then every once in a while, like a C-suite role pops up, like a CFO, and that's massive overs. And I'm like, I see where the money's fucking going now.
Yeah, yeah.
So let's have a look at the highs for 2018 for the GWS. And I've got round one, when they give it to the Bulldogs by 80-odd points. That's not a bad way to kick off your season.
Well, the start of the season was great, actually. I think they were, was it round seven? They were top of the ladder?
Or nearabouts.
Sure, round about there. Wheels kind of fell off a bit after that, but... You saw that they were delivering again and not going as far as what their initial results led you to believe that they were going to do, which is, I mean, that's one of those things that they would have pinpointed as needing fixing for last year. I feel like they fell into that trap again. obviously there's it's a different environment at GWS with players who are there because they got the chance.
Yep.
And trying to hold on to talented players, it's always been something that they've had to deal with more than other clubs. But that has to change sooner or later. It has to be a destination club, especially with the success that they've had. You want people to be wanting to go there, not just trying to retain people who are drafted there.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, success going into the season was they had Kelly signed up for another year.
Yeah.
Obviously, big money on the table from North, Fremantle, St Kilda and whatnot. And he had a good season. I think he did really well, actually.
Yeah, Kelly had a good year, without a doubt. Even with missed a few games through injury and that kind of stuff. But especially around the end of the year, I feel like he played his best footy in the last month or so. And that's great, especially for a young player to when the pressure's on.
Yeah, I mean, obviously one of the highs was the win in the first week of the finals. Yeah, obviously
2-0 against Sydney in finals now.
Yeah, put it to Sydney, laid them to the sword. Quite
funny, because like we mentioned before, with Geelong and Melbourne, they were 0-2 during the regular season against Sydney.
Yeah,
the Battle of the Bridge.
Yep. So the other one I had for a highlight was actually the round two win against Collingwood. Obviously, Collingwood turned out to be a much better team than we. Not much better, but they were...
No, absolutely better than what I thought they'd be.
And, yeah, GWS is at the MCG, have come out and laid them to waste, beat them by, was 18, three goals, about that. But it was a close game. It never got, the lead never got blown out past three goals, I'm pretty sure.
But it was a tough game.
Side. Yep.
And a win at the MCG.
Yep. And
rare as hen's teeth for GWS.
And there was a significant cost to both teams with injuries, which would affect their season, but... Yeah, if you're going to have those injuries, you prefer them early on, I guess. It's one little bit of, I don't know, take a bit of positive out of it.
The other high for the year I had, and it's a little bit of it with a smirk, was the game against Carlton at Etihad Stadium.
So they absolutely pumped them?
Yeah, they absolutely pumped them, but at one stage they were running around with 16 men.
Oh, they forgot, that's right.
No, they didn't forget. They just went, oh, don't worry about it.
Yeah.
You know, we got a few injuries, just... Finish your massage, then you can go on. You know you're running well when you can do that.
Yeah.
I thought it was a bit cheeky they offered to swap Guernseys at three-quarter time.
Just to even it up a little bit. Yeah. Why wouldn't you? But, I mean, it says a lot. Really, it says more about Carlton. But still.
Well, yeah, the Carlton players wouldn't give the Guernsey back. They're like, no, I'm heading with you guys.
When you can win by 12 goals and not play a full side for the whole game, something's going all right. But anyway, they're the highs for the Giants. What are their lows for the year?
Well, getting smashed by the Kangaroos by 43 points is probably a big one, I'd say, considering North didn't play finals. And on paper, you'd have to think GWS should have accounted for them handily.
Yeah, and there was a little bit of GWS in that through the season. One of their lows was actually the draw against St Kilda.
Yep.
That was a game that they were all over, should have won that. They had the bulk of the chances in the fourth quarter, too many behinds, the defensive effort. They just went to sleep for a good 10-minute period, which allowed St Kilda to kick, I think it was three or four goals, and then a point to get the draw.
Yeah, and to be honest, they were lucky to get a draw in the end, because Carlisle should have won, should have marked it, and probably should have got a free kick as well.
Yeah.
It was disappointing when the heat came on the last couple of minutes. A few of them were found wanting.
No way.
I think the Geelong game too. They kicked 4-8.
Four goals, eight in round seven.
They kicked 2-5 up to the half time, and then kicked 2-3 for the second half. And that's, I mean, I don't want to put the boot in too much, but that's an AFLW score.
Yeah, it wasn't good. It looked like it was just, oh, it's too cold, I couldn't be bothered.
Yeah.
It was that kind of, because it was a shit house day. And they just look like it was footy's just too hard today.
Yeah, and at that point of the season, they were on fire as well. So you want to see them close these games out.
Well, this one kicked off three losses in a row, I think it was.
Yep. Yeah.
And that's when the wheels started to really fall off. And I don't think you can put it down to any one incident, other than they were just all out of sync with each other.
Yep.
So often you see them run forward in a pack and then pick the fourth out of two options.
Yeah. I think when we talk about the lows, you've got to mention Jeremy Cameron as well.
Yeah.
Who absolutely plastered, was it Andrews from Brisbane Lions? And you get five games, I think? Five game suspension?
Six down to five, I think it was.
Six down to five, something like that. And it's a shame, too, because I looked at it and you go, you know what? He didn't set out to lay him out.
Yeah.
But you can see how, mate, you can't put your arm up like that.
Yeah.
Because the danger is you break someone's face, which he did.
And I think that's consistent with, the gaff, the fife, those decisions.
Yeah.
Didn't go out with malice and try and belt someone five probably. Yeah,
but he's had this happen to himself before.
Yeah.
Yes.
So you may think, maybe I just will stop this vicious cycle of violence.
It's just, it didn't need to happen. But you can see why he didn't do it on purpose either.
And,
but anyway, you end up 5 weeks on the sidelines and the other bloke ends up, not remembering his kids' names in 30 years' time.
Yeah, it wasn't like, Green, who just, pretty much gets a Steven Seagal kick.
Yes, yeah.
Straight into the chest.
Well, that's a point too. They've made the Toby Green rule now.
Yeah, and it's a tough one because it is a legitimate strategy to try and get a bit of space, but you just can't put your foot up that high. Yeah. Like, usually it's just, just above the butt. You just put a little sneaky one in there to give you a bit of space, give you a bit of lift.
I think it should be cricket rules. Like, if it's above the shoulder on the full, like, you only get one.
No ball.
You only get one per quarter. But if it's above waist height, you get that one's allowable.
Jared Waite used to be the best of it in a marking contest.
He did it all the time.
He'd just jump up and push him in the bum with his foot. Yeah. It's fine. Sobey, he's not doing it, again, he's not doing it with malice, but he's doing it so I don't care if this hurts.
A few of them were a bit malice. Like,
not malice, it's lack of care.
In fairness, Waite and Green have their feet at the same height, just that Waite's 6'4" and Green's 5'4".
Exactly, yeah. And it's a fucking talented kid.
Yeah, he's very talented.
It's amazing how talented he is.
It is always funny with some of these players when they do something like that and you see the whole football media descends and everyone's like, oh, it's terrible, it's disgusting. The next day, I would love to see Toby Green say, oh, look, I've been looking at contracts, and all of a sudden you'll see players and supporters going, oh, I hope he comes to our club. He'll fucking have
But at the same time, if it came out in the paper tomorrow that there were three dead bodies buried underneath Toby Green's house, you'd go,
I'd
see that happening.
They probably deserved it too.
Just for knowing him. All right, let's have a look at their list changes. The ins are very short. Tommy Sheridan has come across from the West. And again, it's just another player.
Yeah, I remember that he plays football, the West.
Exactly.
Don't have a lot of other knowledge about him.
No. But they're outs. And obviously, the last couple of years, that's what you're focused on when it comes to GWS.
Well, they do have massive outs. Obviously, starting with Lockie Tiziani. Geez, they fucked up there.
Well, it's unlucky. I think they just thought North Bergen will need a premiership. But I think one of the stats you need for GWS as well is like the outs, the ins, but they need a stat that keeps other people trying to get that actually chose to stay back at GWS. Yeah. That's almost the more important than both the other ones.
Well,
I guess they're in too is Mumford, really.
Yes.
He's coming back later, after having a year off to get through the snags and the nose beers.
Didn't work.
I think he's going to miss a couple of rounds, but he will be back in. So they're outs. We've got Griffin, who's obviously retired. Setterfield has gone on. Scully, who was weird that they got rid of him, because he only played one game for the year, and obviously his injuries were gone. But before that, the best runner in the AFL.
Yeah.
It does feel like they gave up on him a little bit easy.
They did. I mean, he wasn't cheap either for GWS, was he?
He was their massive first-year signing. They paid way overs in his early contract. So
I'm not sure when their sort of allowances will pull back. They pulled back now. They've got to be a bit more stringent with financial control.
I think that was the thing too. Like, he was on such a massive contract and they got such a little amount out of him.
I think they got one quarter this year or something like that.
By all accounts, they're well over their salary cap, so they need to get rid of those big earning players that aren't delivering on the field.
Well,
and
that's it.
He's one of them.
Yeah, they got rid of him. He wasn't on the $1 million a year that he was on, but Dylan Scheel would have been commanding that kind of stuff. And obviously, everybody read that the bidding war that happened with Scheel, they could never keep him.
Because
of those salary cap issues.
The worst thing is that's not going away either.
No. I think they've got at least another 2 years of shit. Well, but the thing is, they've had so many stars that we'll go through. They've lost other stars, and they've still got more on their back burner. Yeah.
Well, the two ones coming up end of 2019 will be Kelly and Caniglio. And Caniglio just came out today and said, oh, "I'm putting off contract talks the end of the year." It's like, doesn't mean he's going, but he's fucking looking.
He's looking.
And fair play to the bloke too. Like, if he goes to GRS and they're like, "Oh, mate, we can only offer you 10% less than what you're currently getting."
See, I think you should cut through the chase and just create like an AFL Tinder app where you just swipe left and right on each club that you're interested in. You're not, and you find out. You talk about it.
I know when it comes to country and suburban footy, I know that Ricky Nixon started up something that. Find a club, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, is that put their missus numbers in there too.
So Dylan Shields, obviously the big name that they lost out, and he's gone over to Essendon. I had a little bit of inside info on that as well, because I remember Carlton flew him up to Cairns or something when they were trying to wind and dine him.
Yeah.
somebody who was very high up, who was on the private jet that went up there, said the decision was already made long ago. He was always going to Essendon.
He just wanted a holiday.
He was wearing an Essendon polo on the shirt.
Pretty much. Rory Lobb, who was desperate to get back home, so desperate he actually went to Frio instead of West Coast. A very, very handy player, and geez, he can take a good mark, but obviously they couldn't hang on to him, and the call from home was too much for him to bear.
When a player says they want to go back home, sometimes you're a bit sceptical. When he's like, I don't care if it's West Coast or Frio, you're like, all right, he's fair dinkum, maybe I'll let him go.
He really wants to go home. They also lost Timmy Moore, who was just a bit of an extra player for them. And like we said, Lockie Tisiani, they delisted without playing a game, so go fuck themselves. Okay, 2019, their double-ups are the Bombers, who's now that becomes a grudge match. Gold Coast, Hawthorn, Richmond and Sydney. Again, besides Gold Coast, they're all there or thereabouts for GWS?
Yep. There'll be some which will definitely be advantageous. I think it'll be a win overall if they go 1-1 with some of those teams. But you wouldn't be surprised if they went 0-2 with some of them, and it wouldn't be massively... Well, discouraging.
I'd expect the Tigers and the Bombers to take care of them quite easily.
Yeah.
But it does come down to are their stars all on the field, in which case, you know, they'll account for Sydney and Hawthorn.
Mm. Well, I think West Coast will probably have them too in round two. So you've got Essendon round one, West Coast two, Tigers three. They could be coming in around 4-0-3.
Yeah, they could be. That's a tough tough start to the year. You got last year's premier, the last two premiers, and then Geelong. In round four. It's a tough start.
You'd probably back him in. And then they start to get a little bit easier and they finish off, you know, reasonably well. But, yeah, I think their draw is going to be really tough for them. I say that, and yet...
we'll get right.
That. Yep.
Yeah. All right, so who's in a big year for the Giants this year?
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The lads out of contract have to. Like, Coniglio and Kelly, they're too good of players for GWS to decide to ice them.
And they've become consistent players too.
Yeah. It's that funny situation where if they have a good season, then GWS can't afford them. But if they have a moderate season, maybe they can. Yeah. But then they've got no value if they do decide to leave. So it's one of those ones where you're fucked either way.
I think that especially the clubs that have been looking after him, and North Melbourne put in 4 years into Kelly, I don't think it matters. If Kelly got injured in round one, did his knee, and doesn't play the entire season, I think North is still going to offer him, you know, here's, we want $10 million over 9 years.
Yeah,
it's still going to be on the table for him.
Yeah.
So he's not hiding to nothing. It's really how much do GWS need him, and how can they manage the rest of their list? And Cornelio's probably a little bit behind that, but same ballpark.
Mm. Well, I think that's the need him part. Yeah, every club needs him. If he was genuinely upset with GWS and wanted to leave, there'd be...
Yeah, everyone would ask the question.
NRL players would be asking him what he's doing. NBL would be in there. I mean, NBL's in there anyway. But so they want to keep him, absolutely. But for him, he only took a 2-year contract last time. This one, you'd have to think he's looking for a longer contract. And GWS will pay it.
Well,
if they can get the dollars there, he'll probably stay.
Or if he signs another 2-year contract, that means next time it comes out, he's free agency, as opposed to this one where he's not. So. Yeah.
But if you're GWS, you want a long contract on him too.
Of course you do.
Because he's been pretty reliable. So you're not too worried about a career-ending injury. I
mean, no more than anyone else. Exactly.
So you'd think 5-6 years is probably what you're after. Yeah, Coniglio is the other one. I think I don't see them keeping both.
No.
They'll lose at least one. But having said that, there's always going to be a player emerge, like a young Taranto, for example. He could take the next step, and all of a sudden, he's a 900 grand a year player.
Yeah.
Well, going on to who's having a good year, well, that's exactly what I think is going to happen, is that even though there's pressure, well, it's not pressure, but there's very obvious that players are going to be looking elsewhere, the sharp end of their talent pool.
Yep.
That should really light a fire under the arse of the other players, like Tomlinson, who can take that next step and be the actual leader of that club. If they're going to go, be like, all right, cool, this is my club now.
Yep.
Here's what I'm capable of, and here's why I put your faith in me. Pay me the bucks.
Yeah.
And then I'll fuck off.
Well, I mean, you have a look at Cornelio and Kelly as well. They're probably the next captain because Davis and Ward are getting on a little bit, and they're at the right age bracket. And if they're not, then it is a Tim Taranto, who's only in his second or third year from memory.
Yeah.
So it's those guys are going to get more time now. It was, you know, Shields moved on. There's another space.
Yep.
But to me, they just got so many fucking winners.
How much older was Cameron than Kelly? Only a year or two, isn't it?
I think Cameron might be, he might be 25, 26 now.
Yeah.
So he's been around for a little while because his All-Australian year was his second year when he kicked 50 goals or something like that. And that was a little while ago now. I've also got down a big year. Davis, obviously, you know, he's an absolute rock down at fullback. But Lockie Whitfield, who's coming off an All-Australian year. In a former, was he number one pick or number two, I think, when he first went up there? So he's shown his nous. And, you know, all Australian off halfback, there's nothing to be sniffed at.
Yep. And I think just it pretty much goes without saying that every year you're looking for Patton to have a big year and just not be injured.
Just, yeah, get just back on the park.
Half the course.
I don't think he'll be playing.
Point.
Is that until about May?
Yeah, I was going to say, I think the first half of the season he'll be scarcely seen. But
that's, like, if we're talking about players in danger, I think he's it.
Well, that's the next thing we talk about is who's on the chopping block. And you reckon Johnny Patton?
I think has to be. A massive unit. For some reason, he's got a tiny head. I'm not sure what's going on there. But he's not on the field enough. And when he is, he's not the game breaker you want him to be.
He's never had a chance. He's coming out. Yeah. This is his third knee, Rico. And I think it's his first one on his other knee, or I'm not sure.
Yeah.
But one more and you go, mate, something else.
Built for it.
But to me, on his day, he's like a Tim Membry, for example. Just so powerful and on the lead, nothing stops him. But that happens so rarely, and then all of a sudden he's got a niggle and he's not mobile, or he misses those shots. You've got a 45 out on the 20-meter line.
He'd be happy if he had a niggle.
Yeah, that's
all it was. Yeah. All he does is major bloody injuries. And I don't think he's strung together many games, but the few times I've seen him, in his, you know, he's having pot shots from 60 and they're going through half goalpost height. And you're like, Jesus Christ, if this kid ever gets a chance... he'd be, you know, bloody an all-time great, but he just hasn't had a chance.
But he and Cameron match up perfectly. Like everything that Patton has in terms of, you know, size, power, running in straight lines, Cameron is
the exact opposite kind of
forward. Complementary skills, like the smaller forward who can still take a massive pack mark, can still run below his knees, like pick the ball up. If you could design a team, those are the two archetypes you want in your forward line to start with.
Also on the outer, you know, we've got Phil Davis, who's an All-Australian caliber fullback. Lockie Whitfield, who's an All-Australian caliber running halfback. Heath Shaw's down there for experience, I think.
Is he still playing? Shit.
Exactly.
I mean, I was going through the list, I'm like, they must have updated it. Surely Shaw's not going around again.
But no, he's going around once more.
He's definitely on the chopping block then.
He makes a lot of mistakes these days too, by foot.
Yeah.
You've got to say, they've done well.
Well, they've got the best out of him by far.
Absolutely. He was All-Australian 2 years running, I think, the first 2 years.
And well-deserved it.
Absolutely. It wasn't a question. But now you go, okay, mate, you're here for the experience you give during training.
Yeah.
I think if he plays 22 games, and he's damn durable, I think that's actually bad for GWS because it means that nobody else is forcing him out.
Well, I think it's much the same as Hodge in Brisbane. He's had his role, in which is to educate the guys around him.
Yeah, but he's not the same kind of educator as Hodge, is he? Yeah. He's like, what'd you fucking do that for, you bastard? He's a Brendan Goddard school of education.
Yeah. Well, to be fair, I think Hodge probably stitches a few bells behind the change rooms too. But, you know...
Hodge does it behind the change rooms. Shaw does it in the middle of the fucking MCG.
But, you know, when you're surrounded by kids, I guess you're going to end up turning into a bit of a teacher.
Grumpy old man by default.
Problem is he's turning the metalwork teacher, not the homeroom teacher. But I think Shaw obviously has had a really good career there, but I think you're right. If he hasn't trained his replacement yet, he will have by round 13, by the bye. I think that'll be what he says, bye.
But I think it's well known that it'll be his last go round.
Yeah.
So hopefully he can enjoy it.
Yeah. What do we think about Leon Cameron? Do we put up on the torch to him or?
Depends.
Well, if they don't make finals?
If they don't make finals, you've got to ask questions because, you know, it's always been said that he's had the Ferrari there.
Yeah.
You know, the list is just ridiculous. And the outs over the last 4 years is probably a pretty decent side
you
put together.
And I think if they slide out of the finals this season, then surely administration will start looking at, all right, you've got to stop this trend of going backwards, and we're looking at a five-year plan as opposed to how do we get back in the finals next year.
The problem, though, is as soon as you hear rebuild, all their sort of mid-20 stars will be going, well, I don't want to go through a five-year rebuild. I'm fucking off.
Yeah.
I've been here for the first one.
Yeah, and that's when you have a sudden gut. So if Coniglio, Kelly, even Taranto, Cameron all decide, well, I'm not here for a rebuild. I'm fucking off.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, you're rebuilding from Gold Coast level, not from, you know, just missed out on finals level. So that'd be a disaster for them. So stitch up your contracts before, if you're in the head office.
All right. So where have we got GWS finishing in 2019? I was going to say 2018 then. We got them in 2019. Brenton?
Well, I've got them pretty massive slide. So by my theory, Cameron's in trouble. I've got them pulling up stumps at 12th spot end of the season. Mass exodus of stars. And, probably big loss again.
If they're going to sign the stars, do it early.
Yeah.
See, I've spent the last half hour talking them down, but I've got them finishing second.
Shit.
Because I think a lot of their games in the first half are going to struggle, but they've got a reasonably easy second half, and I think that's when they can really hit their straps. So I also am a big, massive fan of Mumford, obviously. So I guess he's going to be about a 10-goal a game different player. But no, I think one thing I did notice last season, their engine room talent isn't looked after physically. You don't have a player like, I think Gold Coast had Campbell Brown up there just to keep people off Gary Ablett. You didn't have players like that running around for Kelly Coniglio, just making sure they didn't get the physicality of the tagger. I think Mumford will definitely do that around the midfield. So when there's a ball up and you see a young, Dangerfield giving Josh Kelly touch-up, he'll just pick Dangerfield up by the scruff of the neck, throw him over the fence, and worry about him later.
So didn't they pick up Chad Corns for that role?
Trying to think. There's a bloody... Geelong. Geelong player. I can't think of his name, but he played in all the bloody premierships down Geelong. He was an absolute man mountain. Yeah. No, I've gone blank. I can't think of him. They're obviously a few years past it now. They've left. But, second, that's a big call for GWS. Obviously, got rid of Dylan Shield. That was their problem.
Well, what number primer is this? This is like the 8th? 8th or 9th? 10th?
12th?
10th. Yeah, about that.
It's taken 12 podcasts for Josh to get into his big call. So, big call, glad it's here.
I've got him second. You've
been waiting for it.
So, one of us is going to... Going to be right.
I've got him 12th.
I've got him 15th.
Oh, you got him
15th. I've got him dropping way down. I think that they've lost more stars.
Mm.
There's going to be more contract talks. They've got a rough start to the year. If they go, you know, sort of 1-4, 1-5 early on, the wheels can fall off very, very quickly.
Yep.
I think that then questions start getting asked, and then contract talks become harder, and it can all just snowball.
And also, the vultures start circling real hardcore then. Yep. Like, they're already there. They're already perched in the tree. Just waiting for a bit of blood.
Fuck it. I'm all in now. I'm going for them for flag. Premiership GWS.
Yeah, shit. Yeah, there you go. Port's going to be unhappy.
And besides that, they delisted Tiziani, so I'm not putting him anywhere near finals.
Oh, fuck it. Spoon then. Nah. 15th. I've gone off him. I forgot about that.
All right, that'll do us for GWS. There you go, Benny the Tosser. That one's for you.
Yeah, good luck.
There you go, champ. Bye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.